Hello,
my name's Kate Rowles and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you are taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork One and Other. The date today is the 28th of July 2009, and if I can please ask you to state your name, your date of birth and where you come from.
My name is Jean Westbrook. I was born on the 8th of the 1st 1955. I'm from Macclesfield.
And how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. And if I can just ask you about when you first heard about this project, what was it initially that motivated you to apply?
Well, I'm doing an art degree and I'm always looking for new ideas, and I've seen The Angel of the North, I've seen a lot of, I've seen the people on Crosby Beach, I've seen the same people on the buildings around here, so I just was looking to see what Anthony Gormley was up to. And I saw that it was easy to apply, and I applied, not thinking for one minute that I was going to be chosen. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was exciting, but I didn't think for one minute that anything would come of it.
And then when you found out that you had indeed got a place, how did you decide how to best use your hour?
It's taken me a long time. I keep changing my mind, and I only made up my mind properly for this time, last week. I decided that I had to just do it for me, and I had to just do what I wanted to do for me. I had so much pressure on me from other people saying, oh, don't let us down and don't be boring and don't be this. So I'm just going to do what I want to do.
And so what did you decide to do for you?
Well, because I'd been knitting this enormous cardigan as part of a project which was to do with hiding in comfort clothing and the elephant in the room, which are the issues that we don't talk about, I knitted this massive cardigan, and it's proved to be so popular that people are expecting me to wear it on the plinth. So I thought, well, the whole story behind that is that we do pretend to be someone that we're not, we do hide away. So I'm going to start off with the cardigan, and then I'm going to drop the cardigan and be me. Yeah. And I'm going to dance a bit. I've made a cutout of me to dance with and to do things with, and I've got bits of poetry and things like that. Lots of bits and pieces that will just come together when I'm up there. I'm quite a spontaneous person. I think they'll just make themselves up as they go along.
It sounds really quite celebratory.
It is, because I've had a smashing year, because I had success with my art degree. I've done really, really well with it and absolutely loved it. And you know, the cardigan sort of really made a big difference, and I won an art, well, I didn't win, but I got through in an art exhibition, in a competition and things like that. So lots of really good things have happened to me this year, and so it is a celebration, and it's just my 1 hour, isn't it? And it's just very important.
Yeah. The cardigan, what colour is it? How have you knitted it?
It's multicoloured. It's got bright orange ribs, and it's all multicoloured. It's mainly in mohairs and all bright colours and stripes. And I knitted it on quite big needles with a drop stitch to make it grow fast, because I don't like things that take a long time to do. And the buttons are made of curtain rings with crocheted centres. I was trying to find something that was light. I have actually had to take some tucks into it to wear it tonight, because it is too big, because 5 or 6 people can fit in it quite easily. So in order that I don't fall into the net, I have actually had to adapt it a little bit. So whether it will flow quite as well as it should do. I've entered it for the Guinness Book of Records as well. So when I finished with it tonight, I'm actually going to re-knit the sleeves, put another 2 feet on both the sleeves, because it's not in proportion, and I think in the Guinness Book of Records things have got to be in proportion, so I definitely won't be able to wear it after that.
And who have you brought with you today in support?
Well, I've had Lee with me all day, who's my son, and he's just supported me today, and my mum and dad and my brother and my two nieces and nephews seem to be outside now. And my husband hasn't come because he doesn't like art and he doesn't like London, and he doesn't like art in London at midnight. But I had persuaded him just to come, but sadly for him, he has hurt his back. So he's at Macclesfield watching with all my other children and my friends, and it's good. Yeah. A lot of excitement in Macclesfield, I'll tell you. Yes.
Yeah. I bet. Who have you told about this?
Well, everybody at work knows, and all my family know, and all my friends. And I was on the radio last week, Radio Manchester, so people who listen to that know, but I don't know. it doesn't matter. I think when I'm up there, I won't even imagine anyone's watching me, except those few people down below, but it's very exciting, yeah.
Have you ever made a cardboard cutout of you before? That's a really interesting idea.
Well, it was interesting. It's actually not in cardboard, it's in fabric, but I was a primary school teacher for 20 odd years, and I have drawn round so many children in my life and done things with those cardboard cutouts. I've never been drawn round myself, and my husband did it. It was quite kinky, really. I lay on the floor in the bedroom and he drew around me. And I said, oh, but you never thought you'd do this in 25 years of marriage. But so he drew around me on a big piece of tracing paper, and then I went up into my attic and it was all a big secret, so nobody's seen actually the finished thing. And I've also put a bit of a message on my jacket as well, for when, which will be revealed when my cardigan comes off.
Wonderful. When you've been doing your art degree, what kind of work have you been making? What's that been?
Well, the title is Creative Arts for Employment. So this year has been the essays and art history and the art. The first topic, I ended up doing a big wire mushroom. I do a bit of painting and a bit of collage and a lot of photography. But my favourite bit was the big wire mushroom. And then the human condition, which the elephant and the cardigan and everything was involved with. I've done an awful lot of painting, although they weren't in my exhibition, which are just... I draw with a pen and colour in with watercolour. They're kind of cartoony type things, really. But I've done about 25. I'm really, really quite involved in them. Well, I've done a lovely one of the Angel of the North with his arms folded, and it's called Plinth, 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 Not Fair, and he's gone on strike up on that hill up there. I was there earlier this year, so I got quite inspired by that. And he's got these great big arms folded in a big of a mood.
And where do you work? You said you've told the people at work.
At the moment, well, I actually do foster caring, my husband and I. We've been doing that for 20 odd years, so that's our sort of general income. I work at the children's centre with the disabled children. They come for a few days for respite, you know, two or three times a month. So it's just general care of them, really. Mm. And I absolutely love it, you know. After being a teacher for so long, I did give up for doing fostering. I took on a little family of siblings, and so that kept me busy for a while. And then I'm very pleased that I gave up teaching. I loved teaching, but I've done a lot of teaching, but I've also done all these other little jobs. You know, I've been a trainer and I worked at a hospice, and now I do this job. So it's rather nice, actually, to have done all these other things as well.
Yeah, yeah. I bet. And what was it that got you into foster care?
It's something I always fancied doing, funnily enough. And when I had four children of my own, I'd always quite liked the idea of it. But one day I was just teaching, and a teenager was on a work experience and was telling me that she was going to go back into a children's home after being with a foster family. And I persuaded them to let her come to us. And she stayed with us a year and a half because she was 17 by then. And she's now 40, got two children, and I'm her mum, really, because her mum had died. Sadly, she's just had cancer, but she's been so positive and so brave, and she's just coming out the other end of that. Mm. And she has definitely been watching. And so it went on from there, really. And as I say, we did end up having a little family of young children who are now quite grown up. I've had them for about 10 years, so they've become part of our family as well.
Yeah. So lots of people in your life.
A lot of people in my life, yes. And with the teaching, you know, I taught 4, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, and of course they're all in their 30s, 20, well, going up to 30-odd now. And I bumped into a couple yesterday. I had twin girls in my class, and I never, ever could tell the difference. Had them for 2 years as well. It's really embarrassing. And I just bumped into them yesterday, and they both had two children each, you know, and it was really funny. I still didn't know which one was which. But I know a lot of people know me because, you know, when you're a teacher, the children know you, but their mums know you and their grandmas know you and people who pick them up know you. So there's a lot of people that kind of know me, and I don't probably know them. But I love people, so that's okay.
What experiences have you taken from working in a children's... Is it a care home that you're...
Yeah, it's a social services. It's what they used to call it, a children's home, but it's a children's centre now. It was funny, I'd never worked with disabled children before, and I didn't know whether I could deal with all the kind of the care issue, you know, but actually I absolutely love it. I did some drama with some adults with learning difficulties as well, and I love that too. I think that really I probably wasn't a very good teacher, in that I was a bit of a maverick. I used to think the head teachers didn't like me, but actually probably rightly so, that I was a bit scary for them, because I think that whatever I do from me, you know, as me. And so it's easy, it's okay, isn't it, with 5, 6, 7-year-olds, because I think I used my personality to kind of give them a really good insight to life, and rather than perhaps following all the proper methods. But they still learnt a lot, you know what I mean? So I think it was probably a bit of a tricky thing when the new curriculum came out and everything. But everything I do, I enjoy, you know, because I love working with people, basically. Yeah. And I love all the, you know, the ins and outs of the other staff and everything as well. Mm. So...
And you're from Macclesfield, you said. Is that where you're from originally? Have you lived there?
I was born in Stockport, which isn't far away, and then we moved to Buxton, and we lived on Macclesfield Old Road, funny enough. And then when I was 7, my father was transferred to ICI in Welwyn Garden City, down here, of course. So when I was 7, we came south, and I started saying grass instead of grass. And we lived here, and my family all still live here, but I was desperate to get back up there. I never liked it down here for some reason. And so when I was 18, I went to Teachers Training College in Warrington. So I've ended up living in Macclesfield. I don't particularly like Macclesfield, but it's okay. My husband and I always thought we were going to go and live in the middle of a field somewhere in Wales, but we never quite got there. And my husband's not from Macclesfield either, so although we've lived there forever, but we think that in a couple of years we might be free and we might be able to go and live somewhere else by the sea or something. Yeah, but it's a good central place, you know, if you've got lots of family and a lot of children, you know, people can get to you from all angles, can't they?
Yeah.
So we always thought, well, perhaps it was a good sensible place to have as a base.
Yeah. Mm. And how did you meet your husband?
Oh, I met my husband just at a party. I just knew him a long time ago. I've been married 26 years this year. I just happened along. He happened along. No, not very exciting, I'm afraid.
And what does he?
Well, he actually gave up work. He was a fishmonger when I met him. He stunk of fish, and his car stunk of fish, and his money stunk of fish. And I had four children myself in 5 years, and so I needed childcare for three of them, and as I was a teacher, it was a good job to hang on to. And the fish at that time had gone very expensive, so my husband said, oh, I'll have a break from this and get a job when the youngest child, Teg, is five. But guess what? He never did, because just at that moment we got our first foster daughter. This Kim came along, and that was lovely, because we realised that that would be a second income. So after that, he's been a foster carer, and been to all the meetings and everything for that. Yeah, but so he's been at home, so that's been nice. Yeah, we see a lot more of each other probably than other people see each other.
Yeah. And does he? He must like staying at home and looking after the children.
Well, he's not really doing that now. I mean, we're in an old Victorian house. He did that up, and then we bought a little cottage because we've been there for so long. We could afford to. We either needed an extension or a little house, so we bought a little house. And he did that up, and that's what he's doing mainly. Yeah. He's just doing up houses and then selling them on. So he's got himself a little working for himself, really. But there's no pressure on him. He's had a lovely life, really.
Yeah.
And I love going out to work, you see.
Yeah.
So I think people think it's terrible sometimes that he does his own thing. But actually, I'm doing my own thing as well, you know. So it's good.
Yeah. Good. Did you find people were quite, I don't know, it's an unconventional situation to have the man stay at home and the woman go out to work. Have you found that that's been, it sounds like it works brilliantly and it's really nice to hear.
At first it was very, very tricky because I was obviously used to doing certain things in the house, and then Pete took over. That was very tricky. What was difficult was I was a teacher, and the children came to the nursery where I was working at that time, so he was picking them up from me, and I was very aware the mums weren't asking him back for a coffee. You know, he missed out on the social life bit there, and also he's missed out on having colleagues and work dues and things like that. So it's kind of worked out for us, but after we kind of got used to it. But I don't think people have ever thought anything of it. As I say, I think that they think, you know, oh, Pauline has to go to work, but it is completely my choice. He'd be quite happy for me to not do those things, you know. So it's nobody's business, really, is it?
Yeah. Good. I hope you don't mind me asking about that.
No, that's fine. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's important.
No, I didn't mean it. You're very welcome. Yeah, that's right. No, I didn't mean it wasn't your business. But if people criticise anybody, they you know, they've just got to get over it, haven't they, really?
Yeah.
A bit like this plinth business, you know. People are so critical down there, aren't they, of what's going on, you know.
But you're going up at midnight.
Yes.
Tonight. What does it mean to you to stand on the fourth plinth?
I don't know what it means to me. I wish in a way I hadn't had so many weeks to think about it, because it feels as if I've been waiting for a long, long time. And today I felt really, really calm, and thinking, well, this is it. And listening to people out there, you know, is it art, is it this, is it that, is it this? The thing is, this is Anthony Gormley's thing. and we're just like the tools of it, you know, and we're all doing our own bit. And some people get up there and it doesn't seem to be matter to them. They just want to sit and read, they just want to do. And I just think, are they going to regret that? I think I'm not going to regret this next hour. I feel like, I've done what I'm going to do, you know. And how many people say to me, oh, I do this and I do that and I do that. My daughter's boyfriend phoned me up and said to me yesterday, why don't you make a pigeon costume? I mean, yesterday, as if I had time to make a, as if I hadn't thought of something myself. You know, people think that, you know, you need an awful lot of help. And that's why I'm glad that I've come to this conclusion that I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And it doesn't matter whether anybody follows it at all. I don't think I can follow it. But anyway, I've done it. You know, it's too late now. And it means a lot to me and my people and the people that love me. But it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, you know, and it doesn't matter to them. Yeah. That's fine. And I'm glad I'm part of that whole thing, you know. And it doesn't matter what we do, does it? For him. He doesn't care. I did get a picture holding his hand, you know, on the 6th of July. It was really sweet to me because I went up to him and said to him, I've got a picture of you naked on Crosby Beach and I'm holding your hand. So I said, can I hold your hand while you've got some clothes on? And he said, so I got a lovely picture of him holding my hand. Yeah. So that was actually, that would have done. Perhaps I don't need to go on the plinth. You better go and call one of your standbys.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Yeah.